Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quotivation Podcast, where we are here to inspire you one quote at a time and help you win your week this week. I hope you had a great weekend and you are looking forward to the week ahead. A lot of changes in the air. Things are happening. Things are moving. At least it feels that way to me. And I'm excited and I'm nervous. I'm scared. But I'm really excited about a lot of things that have happened. In fact, just this past weekend, I got to experience something that I never thought I would be able to do. And it's something that is a dream, a lifelong dream of mine, something that I've thought about and wondered what it would be like to be part of this business, to be part of this world. And I got to do it, and I got to experience, I got to see it up hand, I got to see behind the scenes, I got to experience it on some level, and it was amazing. It was amazing. I never thought I'd have the opportunity to do it. I've always dreamed of doing it. I've always dreamed of being part of something like this, but I never thought that I would ever have the opportunity to do it, and I was able to experience that this weekend, and it just goes to show that you never know when you're going to have the opportunity to live your dream. You never know when you're going to have the opportunity to do something you've always wanted to do. So we have to be vigilant. And so I hope this week you're going to be vigilant. You're going to be on the lookout for your dreams. You're going to be on the lookout for those opportunities, for those people that are going to put you in touch with other people, that are going to put you in the right position to be ready to do something that you've always wanted to do, to fulfill a dream, to reach a goal, to move forward, to, dare I say it, win your week. And I hope I can help you do that today on this episode of the Quotivation Podcast. So what do you say we get started? Let's start, as we always start, by taking a shot of motivation. And of course, this week, our shot of motivation is sponsored by Amy Real from Fairway Mortgage. And you know that Amy is the real deal when it comes to all things mortgage. And Amy is now with Fairway Mortgage, a wonderful company that has a cash guarantee program that'll make you a cash offer to buy your home if it doesn't sell before the allotted time period. Just removes those pesky little contingencies to buy, and you're sitting there wondering, and you're in limbo, and you feel helpless. Well, this takes all of that away. So give Amy a call today. Amy Real, her phone number is 864-310-9337. That is 864-310-9337. You can also email her at amy.reihl, R-E-I-H-L, at fairwaymc.com. Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage. And Amy's NMLS number is 486620. And as always, Amy, thanks for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
I've said this many times, and I will continue to say this until I can't speak anymore. Everyone has a story. And sometimes those stories are stories of overcoming tragedy or trauma. They're triumphant. They're redemptive. Sometimes a person's story is about the storm they're currently going through. I heard an interesting quote a couple of days ago I can't remember where I heard it or where I read it or even who said it. But the quote said, calm yourself. The storm will pass. How often are we trying to calm the storm frantically? Yet is us who needs to be calm. Because the storm will pass. They always do. Sometimes not easily. Sometimes we receive wind and blowback from sources that are not the storm, the people in our lives that may not know or understand what we're currently going through because they haven't bothered to find out our story. Everyone has a story, and it's incumbent upon us, if we are to love our fellow human being, if we are to show compassion and empathy for one another, as we should, to discover those stories, to give each other the opportunity and the safety and the place to be able to tell those stories. The vulnerability. It's so hard to be vulnerable, especially in a place where you don't feel safe. So we have to provide that safe space for others to tell us the stories of the storms they've been through, or even the storm they're going through. I came across a story that's very real, very true, and very powerful, that demonstrates what happens when we take time to understand a person's story. Now, there have been versions of this floating around that have been reworded or revised and not attributed to the original author. As best I can tell, this story first appeared in Good Life magazine in 1976, was written by Elizabeth Ballard. It's a story called Three Letters from Teddy. If you'll indulge me, I'd like to read it to you. Teddy's letter came today, and now that I've read it, I will place it in my cedar chest with the other things that are important to my life. I wanted you to be the first to know. I smiled as I read the words he had written, and my heart welled with a pride that I had no right to feel. I have not seen Teddy Stollard since he was a student in my fifth grade class 15 years ago. It was early in my career, and I had only been teaching for 2 years. From the first day he stepped into my classroom, I disliked Teddy. Teachers, although everyone knows differently, are not supposed to have favorites in a class, but most especially are they not to show dislike for a child, any child. Nevertheless, every year there are one or two children that one cannot help but be attached to, for teachers are human and it's human nature to like bright, pretty, intelligent people, whether they are 10 years old or 25. And sometimes, not too often, fortunately, there will be one or two students to whom the teacher just can't seem to relate. I had thought myself quite capable of handling my personal feelings along that line until Teddy walked into my life. There wasn't a child I particularly liked that year, but Teddy was most assuredly the one I disliked. He was dirty. Not just occasionally, but all the time. His hair hung low over his ears, and he actually had to hold it out of his eyes as he wrote papers in class. And this was before it was fashionable to do so. Two, he had a peculiar odor about him, which I could never identify. His physical faults were many, and his intellect left a lot to be desired also. By the end of the first week, I knew he was hopelessly behind the others. Not only was he behind, he was just plain slow. I began to withdraw from him immediately. Any teacher will tell you that it's more of a pleasure to teach a bright child. It is definitely more rewarding for one's ego. But any teacher worth her credentials can channel work to the bright child, keeping him challenged and learning, while she puts her major effort on the slower ones. Any teacher can do this. Most teachers do it. But I did not. Not that year. In fact, I concentrated on my best students and let the others follow along as best they could. Ashamed as I am to admit it, I took perverse pleasure in using my red pen, and each time I came to Teddy's paper, the cross marks, and there were many, were always a little larger and a little redder than necessary. Poor work, I would write with a flourish. While I did not actually ridicule the boy, my attitude was obviously quite apparent to the class, for he quickly became the class goat. Not the greatest of all times, the scapegoat, the outcast, the black sheep, the unlovable, and the unloved. He knew I didn't like him, but he didn't know why. Nor did I know, then or now, why I felt such an intense dislike for him. All I know is that he was a little boy no one cared about, and I made no effort on his behalf. The days rolled by. We made it through the fall festival and the Thanksgiving holidays, and I continued marking happily with my red pen. As the Christmas holidays approached, I knew that Teddy would never catch up in time to be promoted to the sixth grade level. He would be a repeater. To justify myself, I went to his cumulative folder from time to time. He had very low grades for the first 4 years, but no grade failure. How he had made it, I didn't know. I also closed my mind to the personal remarks. First grade. Teddy shows promise by work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. Second grade. Teddy could do better. Mother terminally ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade. Teddy is a pleasant boy. Helpful, but too serious. A slow learner. His mother passed away at the end of the year. Fourth grade. Very slow, but well-behaved. Father shows no interest. Well, they had passed him four times, but he certainly would repeat the fifth grade. Do him good, I said to myself. And then the last day before the holiday arrived, our little tree on the reading table sported paper and popcorn chains. Many gifts were heaped underneath, waiting for the big moment. Teachers always get several gifts at Christmas, but mine that year seemed bigger and more elaborate than ever. There was not a single student who had not brought me a gift. Each unwrapping brought squeals of delight, and the proud giver would receive effusive thank yous. His gift wasn't the last one I picked up. In fact, it was in the middle of the pile. Its wrapping was a brown paper bag, and he had colored Christmas trees and red bells all over it. It was stuck together with masking tape. For Miss Thompson, from Teddy, it read. The group was completely silent. For the first time, I felt conspicuous, embarrassed, because they all stood watching me unwrap the gift. As I removed the last bit of masking tape, two items fell to my desk, a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with several stones missing, and a small bottle of dime store cologne that was half empty. I could hear the snickers and whispers, and I wasn't sure I could look at Teddy. Isn't this lovely? I asked, placing the bracelet on my wrist. Teddy, would you help me fasten it? He smiled shyly as he fixed the clasps, and I held up my wrist for all of them to admire. There were a few hesitant oohs and ahs, but as I dabbed the cologne behind my ears, all the little girls lined up for a dab behind their ears. I continued to open gifts until I reached the bottom of the pile. We ate our refreshments and the bell rang. The children filed out with shouts of see you next year and Merry Christmas. But Teddy waited at his desk. When they had all left, he walked up to me, clutching his books to his chest. You smell just like my mom, he said softly. Her bracelet looks real pretty on you, too. I'm glad you like it. He left quickly. I locked the door, sat down at my desk, and I wept. Resolving to make up to Teddy what I had deliberately deprived him of, a teacher who cared. I stayed every afternoon with Teddy from the end of Christmas holidays until the last day of school. Sometimes we worked together. Sometimes he worked alone while I drew up lesson plans or graded papers. Slowly but surely, he caught up with the rest of the class. In fact, his final averages were among the highest in the class, and although I knew he would be moving out of the state when school was out, I wasn't worried for Teddy. He had reached a level that would stand him in good stead for the following year, no matter where he went. He enjoyed a measure of success, and as we were taught in our training courses, success builds success. I did not hear from Teddy until 7 years later when his first letter appeared in my mailbox. Dear Ms. Thompson, I just wanted you to be the first to know. I'll be graduating second in my class next month. Very truly yours, Teddy Stollard. I sent him a card of congratulations in a small package, a pen and pencil gift set. I wonder what he would do after graduation. 4 years later, Teddy's second letter came. Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know. I was just informed that I will be graduating first in my class. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Very truly yours, Teddy Stollard. I sent him a good pair of sterling silver monogram cufflinks and a card. So proud of him, I could burst. And now, today, Teddy's third letter. Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know. As of today, I am Theodore Stollard, M.D. How about that? I'm going to be married in July, the 27th, to be exact. I wanted to ask if you could come and sit where Mom would sit if she were here. I'll have no family there, as Dad died last year. Very truly yours, Teddy Stollard. I'm not sure what kind of gift one sends to a doctor on completion of medical school and state boards. Maybe I'll just wait and take a wedding gift. But a note can't wait. Dear Ted, congratulations. You made it, and you did it yourself, in spite of those like me, and not because of us. This day has come for you. God bless you. I'll be at the wedding with bells on. You never know someone's story until you take the time to hear it. You want to win your week this week? Find that person that you dislike. Strike up a conversation. Show them that maybe you do care, even just a little bit. Learn their story. Learn their heart so that you can understand them better. That's how you win your week. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
This has been a Shot of Motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Kareen Daniels is an international choreographer with over four decades of professional experience. A few of her credits include working with Madonna in the movie Dick Tracy, producing four stage shows that toured in Japan, designing choreography for Emmy Award-winning singer and songwriter Faith Rivera, and much, much more. She is currently immersed in promoting her company, Sacred Dance Path, which provides a full-body wellness and movement system for women around the world. Please welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Corrine Daniels. Corrine, how are you? Aloha!
Aloha from the island of Maui. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. I've been looking forward to this conversation. I can't wait to get into just your background and your passion for dance. It just seems to mean so much more in terms of wellness and total body rejuvenation. It's more than just dancing. It's more than just teaching steps. Talk to us a little bit about Sacred Dance Path and how you found that passion.
Well, you know, the health benefits of dancing are scientific. It's scientifically proven that people who dance or engage in this or some type of movement in their older years, really age gracefully, and it helps with the brain. So, and there's so many more benefits. So I don't want to get into that, but it's scientifically proven. But I'm honored to, first of all, be here. Thank you, Jody. And yeah, dance has been my whole life, and the benefits are just numerous. But my path in dance, you know, it's just been a path that has led me to what I'm doing today. Yeah. I didn't always do what I'm doing today, but today I'm on a medicinal path of dance where, as I've matured, my dance has matured too. And now I work with women around the world, leading them into a beautiful dance system that I created from my wealth of wisdom that provides full body wellness, mind or consciousness, body, which is the physicality, and spiritual. Because within Sacred Dance Path, there's prayer and meditation and positive intention for those things that the participants or students might be seeking. So I love what I do because it really has an effect. It's not just entertainment, which dance can be, and that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, going out to a club and working it to your favorite song and Broadway, you know, shows. And we need all of that because that too provides joy. You know, I believe, you know, I attribute God to everything I do. So I believe God created entertainment, you know, ways for us to enjoy and find laughter and ease. But dance can also be medicinal.
Yeah. Well, you know, you say there's nothing wrong with going out to the nightclubs and kind of getting your groove on, but you haven't seen me do that yet. So be careful what you say there.
Because
no, you don't. Trust
What's
me.
What's your favorite song to groove to?
You know, I don't know that I groove to too many songs, Green. It's too embarrassing. The rhythm, you know, God did not bless me with incredible rhythm and the ability to move my feet and listen at the same time. But, you know, when the mood strikes, it's still fun. It's great exercise. It helps release some of the stress. I would imagine scientifically that there are endorphins that are released in the brain that help you just, it just improves your mood. And so I can see absolutely how science is behind dance being beneficial for you, especially as you age and your muscles and joints stiffen. You need to be able to work that out, right?
All of blood flow, cellular regeneration, mind clearing, energies, your energy is improved. And, you know, I think another benefit that's not talked about is it makes us feel childlike. Mm. It's a way of activating the inner child. That is very healthy.
It's very healthy. It's very stimulating for the mind. And it's also, I would imagine from a mental health standpoint, just being able to stay tapped into the mind of the child. to see things the way that children see things in the world. It has to be so invigorating, and it has to be so healthy for the mind to be able to revert to that perspective.
Well, I always tell my clients, you know, if you're feeling heavy, down, weighed down, give yourself a dance. Mm. That's your prescription. Give one dance a day. If that's all you can do, create a playlist of all your favorite groovy songs that really activate you. Get up from your desk, put on that song, and just block everything out. Give yourself a good, fun dance. There's no way that you cannot feel different after. You will feel different after. Yeah. You'll feel lighter. You may have an answer to something you've been working on all day. And this is what happens to me all the time. If I'm trying to put things together and figure something out or come up with an answer and it hasn't come, it usually comes after a good dance.
Yeah. Wow. And you've created this company, Sacred Dance Path, and you talk about full body wellness and a movement system for women. Talk to me a little bit about targeting your audience towards women. What are some of the things that women are facing today in their lives, in society, that dance can come in and just be kind of an outlet for them? How does that particularly help women?
Oh gosh, I'll probably take up the rest of our time. So I'm going to try to summarize it and condense it. But I tell my women that everything you need is in the dance. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that women bring are, well, first and, you know, really foremost is trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know of a woman that doesn't have some form of trauma, or really any human.
Sure.
But I work with women. So all of my women, you know, it's hard to be a woman, you know, and not be, have some of the stigmas put on you, and, you know, abuse and all kinds of abuse usually happens in childhood. And we weren't trained then in inner child healing and traumatic healing. So we stuffed it and we continued on with our lives, got married, had children, but the patterns of what we've experienced in our life are still in us. Yeah. But when you bring that to a medicinal dance place, a safe space where women can breathe, relax, and move their body in a very medicinally guided way, it's almost immediate the tears come.
Mm, wow.
Like within the minute I put on my first music, the women are already breaking down. The strongholds, the things that have been put on them are melting away, and I encourage it and I keep talking them through it. And by the end of the class, you won't recognize the women. And I have photos to prove.
Wow.
So we did a photo before class and a photo after. And it was like, is this the same group of women? Because the second photo, the women were glowing. Hmm. It was a smile and they didn't even recognize themselves. It was like, I've never seen myself look like that. So the dance welcomes all of those types of things, such as trauma. Even things we deal with in our day-to-day life, whether that be pain, emotional, physical, spiritual. I encourage women to even dance for their finances, for their business, for their branding, for their hopes and their dreams and their goals, that they can bring that in, speak it out through movement and receive guidance from God. And so really anything. And I also do a new modality now called intercessory dance, which is where we dance for others, which is, you know, dancing for our children. You know, they need it, especially our adult children who are out on their own and they're not under our covering anymore. And us mothers are still worrying. You know, you can send out your love light, your vibration, and your prayer through a really beautiful dance. So anything, I can work with any, even medical things.
Wow.
Like I've went through menopause as well as thyroid, and I've danced all the way through it, and I'm still dancing through it and have absolutely no symptoms. So it's really magical. So, and one of the biggest things is depression.
Yeah.
So dance is the antidote for depression. It is the antidote, and it's even cultural. Many cultures have this as a prescription. When someone in the tribe is heavy or down with the spirit of sorrow, they make them dance.
It's incredible. But I mean, to really think about it, Corinne, I mean, it makes so much sense.
I know.
How can you dance and be depressed at the same time? I don't think it's possible. And I can just imagine seeing the trauma and seeing the hurt, seeing the guilt, the shame, all of these things that shackle women. I can just imagine seeing that fade away into total worship and bliss and
yes.
wonder and hope just through moving to the music. And you said being guided through. I think that's incredibly important. Now, from what I understand, this is not something that's just available on the island. You have a free online monthly dance offering for women as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
I have been doing a class called Sacred Dance Saturday, and it's online, free. And I invite women around the world just, you know, to gather the women in and invite them into the dance so they can see how beneficial this is for their life. So, yeah, I've been doing that for quite some time.
And is that something that is just available free to any women, for any women to join? So
yes.
I tell you what, if you will send me, if you want to do this, feel free to send me the link. I'll be glad to include that in our episode recap. We can promote that out there for anyone to join. It's a monthly dance offering, Sacred Dance Saturday. Sounds like a wonderful way to kick off the weekend to me.
Yeah, it's one time a month, and the replay is included.
Oh, very nice. So not only do you get to experience it live, you can go back, you can hear the replay, you can kind of go through it again and experience that more than just once a month. That's really powerful. So yeah. I'm dying to know a little bit about the background. I know the dance, and I'm learning that dance is so much more than just entertainment, but tell me about your time working with Madonna on the movie Dick Tracy, about your shows that toured in Japan, and about working with Faith Rivera. What was that like?
It's just their gifts. You know, they were just gifts for me on the path of dance. Mm. You know, each one of them has an interesting story to it. But, you know, the path for me started at the age of 3. My parents used to go to a Hawaiian restaurant in Southern California. We lived in a predominantly Latino neighborhood, 99% Latin Hispanic population. And there was this Hawaiian restaurant. But when we went in there, my parents said, I just would light up. And I jumped on our table and I would freestyle dance. And my parents would sit there clapping for me. And that's how it all began. And now I live in Maui and I do hula. And so, you know, your path comes for you. I believe God came for me and pulled me into this path that went all the way through my life. And there's story after story. But, you know, the Dick Tracy one was amazing because I almost didn't go to that audition. And so this is one of the testimonies that I have that, you know, when God has something for you, mm-hmm. it's for you.
Yes.
And even if you don't believe it, he's going to get that thing to you. And so my ex-husband at the time, who we were best friends still, he heard about this audition. And I was like, no, I'm not going because It's going to be a cattle call. It's a motion picture. It's going to be hundreds and hundreds of girls on, the line is going to go around the block. I'm like, I have been to so many auditions. I was just exhausted. And he kept pushing me. He said, "No, you got to go." And I was like, I refused. The next day, same thing. He's like, "Go. I hear it. I hear that you have to go." And it wasn't till like I think the night before I finally said, "Okay, I'll go to my meeting. I'll just This is so stupid. I'm gonna go. I'm going." So I go, and sure enough, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and there I am standing all day long. But I made the first cut. I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, we'll see." Well, I made the next cut. And now it's down to like 4 in the evening, and I keep making the cuts. And I'm like, "No way." And we're down to like 20, and I'm like, "I am not in this group. I can't believe I'm here." But see, they were looking for something very specific. They were looking for, if you've, I don't know if you saw the movie, but it's like set in the 1940s. So they were looking for girls that looked like mobsters' girlfriends. I guess I claim fame. I'm Italian, so I got the schnoz,
There's something to be said for a little DNA working its magic for you.
And there I was at like 6 p.m., nine of us standing there, and they say, "Congratulations. You guys are the dancers." So then, we embarked on the rehearsals. And that was amazing. Jeffrey Hornaday is like a world-renowned choreographer. We worked with him. And Madonna didn't come in all the time. We would work with the choreographer, learn the movements, and then she would come in and just stand in the center and do her spot. But it was incredible because I was always like right next to her. So I got a good choice position on the dances. And she didn't talk to us much. That was the time when she was dating Warren Beatty, who was in the movie.
Within the movie,
And he
yes.
would come to the rehearsal. So she was like, they were, doing their love talk, and they were, out, in the middle of rehearsal, she'd run over to him, and so she was in her own world, and but it was still wonderful to just be in her atmosphere and in her environment. And yeah, it was like that one thing also got me so much work after that. So I would just tell people I was in the movie Dick Tracy, and like, boom, you're hired. So it's worked for me all of these years. And just to think, I almost didn't go. So that scenario has happened to me multiple times where God would give a word to someone who knew me and cause them to press me, because for some reason, I don't know what it was, I just wasn't hearing it and feeling it. And God used that other person. So I always say another one of my quotes, not one that I sent you, but is one of my quotes is, "Your future is one person away."
Is absolutely. That's so true. And we have to be vigilant. We have to continue to, of course, be discerning, but at the same time, be very vigilant and looking for those opportunities, looking for those people that are going to help us get there, and really just praying for just the guidance to know who do we hitch our wagon to, right? And who do we not?
Yes.
And just because the answer is no, don't do this opportunity with this person, doesn't mean the person's a bad person. It just means that's not for us.
Exactly.
And that's incredible. I want to go back to something you said because it really sparked something in me as a parent. You're 3 years old, you go to the Hawaiian restaurant, the music hits, you jump up, you're standing on the table and you're dancing. As a parent, I'm like pulling my child off the table, like, stop that, sit down, stop making a scene. And your parents were cheering and clapping. How inspirational, how motivating was it to have that kind of support even at an early age?
It was everything. And me sitting here talking with you today is because of that day. I was adopted. So these parents that were cheering me on were my adopted parents. And so I was really wanted by the Daniels. I was given up by my birth parents. I was not, they weren't ready for me, but the Daniels were. They saw the dancing component within me. I was always reacting through movement. So it was natural for them to cheer me on when we would go to the restaurant. I also remember we would go to Disneyland, and I don't know if you remember, they had a Polynesian palace. They had a Polynesian area, and that's all I wanted to be in. At 5 years old, they were like, let's see if we can get her up on stage. And I was like, yeah, I wanted to go on stage with the big, with the professional Hawaiian dancers. And I did, because at the end, they had always had an audience participation. And so my dad would be like raising his hand and pointing at me, and they would bring me up. But my parents activated this gift. It's like God knew those people would see what's in me, and he put me in their world to raise me and nurture my gifts. And it's only because of them continuing to nurture, nurture, nurture all the way throughout my life, that I'm able to do everything I'm doing today. So,
Wow.
yeah.
What a blessing and what a wonderful story that even at a very early age, your path was being guided and directed as you were able to find two loving parents to support you and, as you say, activate this passion for you. What a blessing.
Yes.
She is Corinne Daniels, and she is the owner, the operator, the CEO, the choreographer of Sacred Dance Path. And again, check out our episode recap for the free online monthly dance offering for women called Sacred Dance Saturday. That happens once a month, but you get the replay so you can go dance every day if you want to the Sacred Dance Saturday. Corinne, I want to transition a little bit to into your quote because I love the quote. I'm very fond of the person who wrote it. I've come to know them very well lately, and I'm so excited for you. If you would tell us the quote, and of course, who wrote it, and why is it so inspiring to you?
I think the one I sent you was Dance Like God Is Watching. Yeah, that's my quote. It's God's quote that, I actually have a ton of them, and I release one a week. So I'm working towards gathering it into a dance devotional book. But
That's
this one
fantastic.
that I chose for you and for us today is Dance Like God Is Watching. And I use that quite often in my dance classes too, at the beginning of class, to remind students what we're doing, what's going on. There is a higher power. And if we choose to believe and tap into that higher power will guide us throughout our life.
I think you mentioned too, this really is the word dance could be kind of interspersed with the word live. And so it's not just dance like God is watching. You could live like God is watching. And
Right.
so what does that look like for you, Corinne? How does it feel to dance as if God is watching you? And what are you trying to accomplish in that? And then at the same time, in terms of living as if God is watching you, what's the ultimate goal in that? And what's the benefit of living life that way?
Oh, it's so sweet. It's just like a mind shift. It's a way of shifting and putting a different lens on the way you live. Now, I know you've probably heard the other term that the world likes to use is dance like, what is it? I don't even know what it is. Dance like nobody's watching. I think that's what it is. And I say, well, first I used to say dance like everybody's watching. That's what I used to say. I was like, no, we are like advertisements. Everywhere you live, everywhere you go, people are watching. It's important what you put out there. And then I heard a few years ago God say, dance like I'm watching. Like I'm watching. And I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Because I believe God is. And to the believer, those who are in the realm of belief, God is present and aware and watching, and his eye is upon us. So it doesn't have to be dance. It could be whatever your vocation is. You know, if you're an engineer like God is watching. If you're a creative writer, creative write like God is watching. If you're a nurse, nurse like God is watching. You can apply this to whatever your vocation is. But for me and my group, my women, I say dance like God is watching. So this really changes me when I go in as a technician, as a choreographer, when I'm going in to create, whether it's a class or a dance or something, that's how I move. That's how I work, as if God is instructing me, as if God is watching me, as if God is saying, no, don't do that. Let's try this. So I really tap in to that in my work all the time. And I make choices, and sometimes I'm like, I don't, why am I not liking this choice I made? I'm like, I think it's good. It's like, why? And I feel it's because God is going, you know, I'm watching, and I don't like, let's go back to the beginning. So I'll brainstorm again, and I'll come up with the God idea, and I'll say, oh, okay, thank you. You know, thank you for correcting me. But you know, this quote can transfer to life too, because you know, there's another saying, like people say the dance of life. Life is kind of like a dance. So how you live, or no, how you dance is how you live, and how you live is how you dance. So if you could think of life as a dance, how you're living, you know, God is watching that. Our choices, our intentions, our motivations, our actions or lack of actions, our words, you know, the energy we put, all of those things. I try to live in a way that's reflective of that. I'm always being watched, even in my private time, even when I'm in my house by myself, which is the most important time, that what we do in private emanates out into the public. And so I'm always trying to live in a from a place of honoring God, and just being clean and pure and making good decisions. And I'm not perfect. I make, you know, I falter, but you know, coming back to that altar, that place of forgive me, that's a dance too. You know, the dance of forgiveness. It's like, so you can, if we were to, you know, think of this quote poetically. Everything you do is a dance move. You know, you're how quick you are to forgive, how slow you are to forgive. You know, the every how we move through life, whether, you know, some people, you know, they're slammers. They slam, they bang, they kind of walk hard, they're fast, you know, that's their dance. That comes from somewhere. Others are gentle and kind of, and some are numb and don't move. And when they should be reacting, they're not reacting. So they're doing the numb dance. So we have to, you know, we're not really people, we're patterns. We're all a conglomeration of patterns. So we have to, and we all have to dance together. Life is one big dance floor.
Oh, another fabulous quote. Life is one big dance floor. I
I'm gonna
love
write that. I'm
that.
gonna use that
Write
next
it
week.
down.
I
Corrine, you talk about dance and your quote, dance as if God is watching. So I think so many people that are not in the realm of belief, that have not come to faith in God, kind of view that as a method to say, oh yeah, well. And I think it's because in society and our jobs and in schools, when it's brought up, it's just like we're being watched. You know, big brother is watching us, and they want to catch us doing something wrong. they want to punish us for whatever we've done wrong. And for me, it's the opposite, right? I mean, I just so enjoy feeling like this warmth inside of me because I've chosen to do something that God blesses, that God approves. And so there's this feeling of, you know, God wants to guide and God wants to direct and move us down the path. If we're just willing to listen, he wants to smile and be proud of the things that we do and the decisions we make. So it's not a watch you to get you or to catch you. It's a watch to guide you and propel you forward. I think it can sometimes be a misconception for people who have never experienced God watching you.
Yeah, it could be that way. And I have all types of women that come to my class of all beliefs. Mm-hmm. Most of them are non-believers, mm-hmm. as you and I believe, but I welcome them. And, you know, some of them are off put and they don't come back.
Yeah.
Some stay just out of curiosity because they love the dance and the music. They're hooked. That's what brings them in. Then they're kind of like, they tilt their head at me a little bit at the way I teach, but they're okay with it and they'll stay in it. So, but yeah, it's, you know, I try to teach the love of God and the grace and that God is a good father.
Yeah.
And it is his pleasure to father us in our life. I mean, we're never too old to need that guidance from our creator. You know, a good father protects.
Right.
Who doesn't need protection?
Yeah.
A good father comforts and consoles. We all need that.
Yeah.
You know, God can be a mother too, and mother us through our pain and trials. So I try to teach those attributes that God, the one who's watching, is all of these things. He's a provider. He's a comforter. He's a, you know, he is our friend. So I try to use that when describing.
And, you know, as you describe it, the drive behind it, the passion behind it, I truly believe that Sacred Dance Path is your mission more than a business. It's your mission. It's,
I feel like it's a ministry.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a ministry. I couldn't agree more with you. Karina, as we wrap up and we think about this quote, dance is as God is watching you. And our listeners are going through life and they're stuck in a rut. Maybe they just don't like what's going on in their life right now. They don't feel like they're in the right place, whether it's employment or relationships or whatever. How can people take this quote, apply it to their lives, and so that they can win their week and so they can be on that path and just be propelled forward?
Well, I certainly want every viewer to win their week. And I say, trust in the movement. You know, God is all about movement. The very first thing in the Bible that God did was move over the ocean. So movement is familiar to the Holy Spirit, and it's familiar to each one of us. So movement creates new things.
Yeah.
New things are birthed out of movement. Healing happens in movement and it breaks up stagnancy. So it could be as simple for winning your week is just dance it out. Give yourself a dance.
Yes.
Everyone loves the song Forget Me Nots by Patrice Rushen. I mean, you put that song on, there's no way. I don't think anyone on earth could not dance.
Yeah.
Or, you know, September by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yes.
Some, you know, great tune, and dance like your life depended on it. Pretend like I'm gonna dance myself out right now and see what happens. Test it out, close the door, lock it for 3 minutes. But you know, it could also be as gentle as putting on an instrumental before bedtime, lifting your hands and just swaying side to side.
Yeah.
And just go through your list of thank yous. So those are two recipes right there of what people can do to win their week with dance.
Powerful, powerful recipes to win your week. Sacred Dance Path. She is Corinne Daniels. Corinne, thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Check out the episode recap. Find that link to the fun, grooving monthly Saturday dance class online for women, just to be able to dance it out and to experience that and to get the playback. I can imagine that's just an absolute blast, a fun time, a healing time, an incredible experience, and to bring life and to bring everything, just worship, and to bring everything and just lay it down and dance it out. I love that. What a fantastic idea. Corinne, thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast. You. And that was Corinne Daniels from Jody. Sacred Dance Class, sharing her heart, her ministry, her love for dance. And what a wonderful quote, dance as if God is watching. And it's her personal quote. It's her mantra. You can tell, you can feel the passion that she has for movement and dance and really, really utilizing it to heal, to bless, to move forward in life. And so, again, if you are a woman and you want to participate with Corinne, check out the episode notes. There's plenty of links and ability to join her for her monthly dance class. You'll have a replay for that to experience all month long. And I just want to thank you, Corinne, for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Just fantastic conversation. Now, before you go to have that jam session, that dancing it out, won't you stick around? We got just enough time for a little bit of dessert. It's time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
Sometimes you just have to get up and move. You know, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're frustrated about, sometimes it just helps to get up and move, walk, run, jog, dance. You cannot be angry. You cannot be frustrated. You cannot be depressed if you are dancing. The movements just release endorphins in the brain that cause your mood to lift, causes the fog to lift from your brain. And as Corinne said, there are times when she would dance and after the dance, the problem that she'd been working on would suddenly have a solution. Because it's active. It gets your brain active. It engages that creativity. It engages that art side. It allows the logic to rest for a moment. It allows you to develop that ability to think outside the box, which is usually where your solutions come from. So when you're feeling like you're stuck, put on a nice, your favorite song, whatever jam you want to go for, and just get up and dance. Just do it. See what happens. If nothing else, you're going to feel better. Maybe it doesn't result in the solution to your problem, but you're certainly going to feel better about it. And that's what Corinne was telling us. And that is her ministry. That is her mission. And that's her life work at Sacred Dance. What a wonderful conversation. Fantastic quote. Dance as if God is watching. And so many people can interpret that so many different ways. I love the fact that God is watching. Because I view God as someone who loves me, cares for me, and wants me to do well, to succeed. He's my cheerleader. He is my friend. He is my guide. He is my confidant, if you will. So I love the fact that God is watching me, and I want to dance as if God is watching me, whether that's dancing physically or if that's dancing through this life. I want to count my blessings. I want to be happy and joyful for the things that are going on, and things that I've been blessed with. Yes, even the storms, we'll dance right through those as well. Storms pass. It's up to us how we respond to the storm, how we respond to failure, how we respond to problems. And sometimes, yeah, I think you respond by dancing. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation. I want to thank Corinne Daniels for being on the Quotivation podcast and wish her nothing but the best. If you want to check out more from Corinne, check out our episode notes. Got a list of links in there that's going to put you in touch with her. And most of all, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you for listening. And I want to thank you for continuing to strive to win your week. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.